This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and joining me in the studio today are Shamila Gunnison and Lim Soo. And it's 2020, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I can't believe it. I mean, I still remember writing karangans about, you know.
What was a doppel doppel?
And there was always some flying car inevitably in those in the
and
drawings.
Astronaut suits. Astronaut suits.
Very soon, maybe. We'll see that.
Who knows? Well, I mean, welcome to this new year. We've got a couple of stories for you as usual. A slightly hopeful one in our first one, but as usual, a slightly less promising one in the second one. In our first story, in what many are saying is a long overdue move, the Malaysian government is actually planning to amend the penal code to decriminalise suicide attempts. So we're going to discuss this very welcome plan, and we're also going to look at whether there are other mechanisms that can be put in place to address the mental health issues behind suicide attempts. So yes, again, some good news came out just before New Year's. It was actually announced on the 30th of December that the government was working towards changing current laws, which would see suicide attempts no longer being treated as a crime, as it currently is, of course. And in a statement on the status of the government's plan to decriminalise suicide attempts, the minister in the Prime Minister's department, Dato' Louis Vui Kyong, announced that Malaysia could see amendments to the penal code to decriminalise attempted suicide as early as the middle of this year. So that's really quite soon.
Yes, and Liu also said that soon after he announced the plan to decriminalise suicide attempts, I'm still in 2019. The Attorney General's Chambers had begun studying this matter and also looking into ways to implement the progressive approach in a holistic manner. So currently a policy paper is being drawn up by the AG Chambers, and this is taking into consideration the views of stakeholders and approaches of different jurisdictions within the Commonwealth.
So Liu said that after this was done, the paper will be brought to the Cabinet for a decision before they table it in the Day One Rug yet for the necessary amendments to the penal code. So he said that among the provisions being looked into were section 309 for attempted suicide and section 305 and 306 for abetting suicide. And he also added that he hopes to see the amendments become a reality by mid-2020.
And also according to Liu, the government through the AGC, they've actually been actively studying how to decriminalise suicide in a holistic manner. The AGC have held engagement sessions with various stakeholders, including the Women, Family and Community and Development Ministry, the Youth and Sports Ministry, various psychiatric associations, the Befrienders even, as well as religious associations, you know, to sort of gather a very holistic view and get their opinions and suggestions on the matter. And it really is a very pressing matter because our 2017 National Health and Morbidity Study found that those planning to commit suicide rose to 7.3% in 2017, and that was compared to only 6.4% back in 2012. Mm. And that same study also revealed a rising trend in suicide among youths aged 13 to 17, that young. About 10% in 2017 had suicidal thoughts, compared with 7.9% in 2012. And all of this data actually mirrors what the World Health Organization's findings are, that suicide is among the 10 top causes of death globally.
Mm. So Deputy Health Minister Dr. Lee Boon Chye, who also welcomed this move, said that those who attempted to commit suicide should be treated for depression and not burdened with criminal investigations. He also said in an article in the New Straits Times that decriminalising suicide attempts helps us to have a more accurate suicide registry data, as underreporting of suicides by doctors is actually rampant. Mm-hmm. So yes, suicide attempts must not be viewed as a criminal issue, but as a health matter, and a preventive one at that, right? I think we can all agree that we urgently need to wind back this colonial era law so that we can help destigmatize suicide attempts and also in a larger context, mental health issues.
Definitely. Yeah.
So speaking of colonial era law, it is understood that Malaysia's law against suicide was adopted from India, but India has since decriminalised attempted suicide. So our neighbours across the causeway as well, Singapore, we heard they recently amended their laws to decriminalise attempted suicide, and that legislation came into effect just yesterday as part of their criminal law reform. Reforms Act, which was passed in their parliament in May last year. So it's certainly welcome news that we are looking to wind back our own colonial era law to help destigmatize suicide attempts and to move forward in addressing mental health struggles among Malaysians.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And this announcement I know was welcomed by many, including Anita Abdulbaka, who is the founder and president of the Mental Illness Awareness and Support Association, or MIASA for short. And that's a patient-led advocacy group who have been championing for this cause since the association's inception. So I reached out to her earlier today to get her reaction to the news and also to find out a little bit about how MIASA has been championing this cause.
Yes, of course. We're very, very happy with the news, although it's not going to happen, you know, very soon. Mm-hmm. But at least there's talks and discussions, you know, about it. And so we know that it's moving forward. And really, when we, you know, first started with MIASA, we are a patient group. We are people with lived experience, we call it. And so being people with lived experience, obviously having suicidal thoughts, ideation, you know, people that have attempted suicide is very much, you know, many of our patients fall into this group. Mm-hmm. And so what we really wanted to do was try to educate the public, you know, really slowly going through the whole psychoeducation, educating and providing people insights from us, from people with lived experience, talking about it, talking, you know, providing that insight and from people that have survived suicidal behaviors and also the bereaved themselves. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was when we started talking about it, NST, I think it was in early 2018, they actually did a piece, front page on this. And we were very happy to be part of this, where what we did was not only talk about it, advocating this cause, but also provided, you know, two of our own, you know, people providing a video, you know, providing that insight, talking about, you know, what is actually, you know, the struggle of people that go through it. I mean, why would, you know, because it's not human nature for somebody to want to end their lives. So something must be wrong. And so providing that insight was actually crucial to provide that understanding, because then, you know, through understanding, through articulating about this issue, then, you know, understanding comes in, better support comes in, you know, better treatment comes in. We are able to reduce stigma, and this was what we wanted to do. And the other thing that we talk about a lot is, of course, sharing stories from people that have survived suicidal behaviors and are, you know, aggressively advocating this. You know, for example, mm-hmm. I think many people have heard about, you know, the Kevin Hines story, where he even created a documentary about it, you know, how he survived his suicidal behavior and what was his struggle and what actually made him execute that unimaginable act of suicide, right?
Right.
And then we also share a lot about Kevin Briggs' story, where, you know, he helps people that go through suicidal behaviors on a daily basis, and what he has seen and what he has learned from these stories and experiences. And I think one of the most glaring thing that we all need to understand is that when a person goes through suicidal behaviors, or, you know, either, you know, suicidal plans or thoughts and attempts, is that they really don't want to die, but it is more about ending the pain, and they don't see, you know, the way out of it. And it's always because people like us, you know, we don't help, or we don't help enough. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, they suffer alone and in silence. And this is typically what happens. So hopefully through, you know, talking about this, normalizing this discussion, that we will begin to understand and come from, you know, that mindset that don't label and judge as one, but coming from that mindset of, we probably don't know everything. You know, there's a possibility that there's something else that is happening. So this is what we have been advocating for very much.
So, you know, something I think surprises a lot of people, Anita, is that, you know, people don't even realize that suicide attempts are considered a crime, you know? And I mean, it's shocking enough that somebody has tried to commit suicide and then they're charged for it, you know? So, but why are suicide attempts even considered a crime?
Well, I think for the obvious reason that by criminalizing it, then it would, you know, it's a way to deter a person to actually commit the unimaginable act of suicide. But, if we look at, you know, the major religions of the world, you know, me being a Muslim itself, that we learn about how, you know, God is the only being that has the right to determine when a person will die.
That's right.
In Islam, we say we don't, you know, we don't own our life. So the major religions of the world fully concur with this. And so this is, I think, the other reason why it's considered a crime.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, from your experience, you know, I mean, you have been working with the government and all of that. Why has there been pushback to decriminalize suicide attempts? I mean, what are some of the arguments that are made to actually keep criminalizing attempted suicides?
Well, you know, in all honesty, Jalit, working with the, you know, the government and the different ministries, I really think that, you know, the relevant parties don't see the urgency in this, because really, if you see the urgency in this, you would definitely push to, you know, decriminalize it. Mm-hmm. So they most probably don't understand the reason behind such acts, because you see, when we talk about mental illness, right, the stigma on mental illness is very prevalent, very widespread in society, not only here in Malaysia, but across the world. You know, what is the first thing that crosses your mind when we talk about mental illness? You know, people with mental illness are crazy, we're violent, dangerous, you know, we're not able to work, we're not productive, and the list goes on, right?
Mm.
And so because of this stigma, the negative perception of it, you know, it's very much due to, I would say, ignorance. We don't have the knowledge, and yet, you know, we label and judge. We feel that it is such because of, you know, whatever we believe and heard from other people. It's not necessarily because we have been in contact with a person that has mental illness or a person that has suicidal behaviors in this context, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for me, I think it's more about not understanding it. Hence, when you don't understand it, when your knowledge is very minimal, and of course due to stigma and ignorance, it's you know, you don't feel there's urgency in this. Because if you look at the numbers itself, you know, we're looking at what, 800,000 people dying from suicide according to the World Health Organization, which is one death in 40 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and which is a huge, huge number. And even if we look in Malaysia, the National Registry of Suicide, I think we stopped you know, recording this in 2008-2009. So that in itself tells you that there's not much urgency in pushing this.
Right.
And again, if you talk about human nature again, you know, nobody wants to die. Everyone wants to live. You know, can you imagine when, a simple example, if you're sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just having a normal fever and flu, you would want to get better so fast, right?
Definitely.
So definitely, right?
Yeah.
So nobody wants to die. So if you understand, if we all understand about mental illness, if we understand about substance abuse disorder, if we understand about, for example, the effects of drugs to the physiology of the brain, how it changes your perception, personality, your behavior, then you will understand the emergency to actually decriminalize it. Because if we, for example, look at major depression disorder, for example, right? So there's about, what, 9 symptoms. And one of the symptoms is having suicidal thoughts or ideation or plan. And so if you treat the illness, then, you know, you delete the suicidal ideation and plan altogether.
Right.
And so this is so important to understand that when a person tries to attempt suicide, it's not only a symptom, but they do need help. It's, you know, it's a condition. It's a medical condition where you need effective treatment. You need to get the help, you know, that is required for you to get better.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, definitely this move to help to decriminalize attempted suicides, I mean, that will truly help people who are facing mental health issues. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It will help them to get, you know, one, it reduces stigma for sure, because the only way for us to reduce the stigma when it comes to mental illness and suicidal behaviors is to normalize the discussion and having open discussions about this, open conversations for people to really understand why would somebody even want to, you know, attempt? Why do people even have such thoughts? You see, this is a conversation that we don't discuss a lot about. We don't talk about it openly because there's so much stigma. It's so taboo, not only, you know, in the Malay culture, even in the Chinese culture, right, Julian?
Mm-hmm.
In the Indian culture.
Definitely.
So, you know, it's overall. And if, you know, if we get them the help that they need, you know, be it therapy, counseling, medication, whatever, spiritual therapy, whatever it might be, you know, we will definitely reduce suicidal rates. I think even if we look at research itself, we will see that, you know, by decriminalizing suicidal attempts, it doesn't increase suicide.
Mm.
So that in itself is already a huge key for us to push this agenda forward. And I think the other thing that the AG Chambers or the Minister of Law is trying to also work on is probably an effective suicide prevention plan nationwide.
Yep.
And probably this is what we don't have in place right now. So this is probably what, we all need to work together, collectively. So it must be a collective, effort and action so that this can be pushed through.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you did allude to what Dato' Liu said, that, they're studying alternative mechanisms to handle this problem, right? And he did say that it was based on various models from several Commonwealth countries. Would you know what some of these mechanisms actually look like?
It's not really clear when he said about an alternative mechanism, Juliet, because you see the cause of suicidal thoughts or plans or ideation or behaviors is due to the illness itself.
Right.
So if you treat the illness, then you are going to treat, that suicidal part of it. And especially if you look at the crux of the issue is, of course, the underlying issues itself. If you're going through, not seeing a way out and all that, it's always because there's something else coupled with it. So, for example, there's financial problems, you have marriage problems, there's trauma in your life, there's loss of a loved one, there's a lot of stressors in your life. But if you really, deal with all that and find solution or provide solutions with this group of people, then you will see that it will go away. And I think this would be, what needs to be done, really treating the person, helping the person, sorting out their problems, being there to help and listen. And I think that in itself will reduce that suicidal behaviors by a lot, really.
Okay. And I mean, just as always, if anyone is having, facing any problems, the end of the year, the start of the year is always a difficult time for many.
Yep.
If they are having any troubles, I mean, what would your advice be to them? Where can they reach out to for some help?
For now, we have Befrienders. They provide a 24-hour suicide hotline, so they would be your best bet. If they don't pick up the phone, please do try again, because they, their lines are busy. One call takes an hour. They work on a, on a voluntary basis.
That's
they
right.
try their best. So that's one way. The other way is there is also Talian Kasih, which is initiated by a Ministry of Women, which is 15999. So do call that number. And also the mental health NGOs on the ground, we also have helplines. You can also walk into our places, like Souls Health. We have Malaysia Mental Health Association. There's Miasa, there's Minda Kami. So there's a lot of mental health NGOs on the ground as well that can help you, because we're able to, help you instantly. So either through phone calls, you can email us, you can, message us through social media, and you can also walk in to our offices. So that's also the other way for, whoever that's going through all these challenges and struggles in life.
So that was Anita Abdulbaka, the founder and president of the Mental Illness Awareness and Support Association, or MIASA, which is a patient-led advocacy group, and they've been championing to move this, they've been championing the move to decriminalize suicide attempts in Malaysia. So let's hope that come June or mid 2020, we do really see this being passed in our laws. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it's a great sign that countries like Singapore and India have also done similar things, because it's very important to send out the signal that people with these mental health issues should come forward, rather than decriminalizing it stigmatizes it so much.
And Anita was saying, she said to me off air actually, that in India you can actually see there's proof that once they decriminalized it, the rates of suicide actually dropped, or attempted suicide even dropped significantly. So there is actually statistical data to prove that this is an effective measure.
And with mental health being one of the topics that was talked about a lot in 2019, this is something, it signals that people are getting more and more open to talk about the issues that they have, to talk to someone and to get the support that they need.
Exactly. I mean, can you imagine, you already in this state of mind, and you are being, and if you don't, the attempt is not successful, then you have to face criminal charges.
Right. And it almost makes it impossible for you to even speak out if you are ideating, because you might feel like people would judge you, or that you could get into actual serious trouble.
Yeah, somebody could report you right? Because it's attempted, isn't it? Even just talking about it. But anyway, if you are facing any personal problems, as Anita said, you can always contact the 24 Hours Befrienders. Their hotline number is 0377956814 if you're in the Klang Valley. Or also, you can always try Talian Kase at 15999. Or do head to the Miasa website at miasa.org.my and just find out what you can, I mean, how you can get some help there. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will be talking about litter. But for now, here's Here Comes the Sun by The Beatles.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.